Welcome to Classic Reviews. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for reviewing classic television shows, video games, and films. I'm your host, Matthew, and this is for Season 7, Episode 6. It's the season finale, apart from the little extra, the season rankings next time. But it's the final, the season finale, if you want to call it that, of Classic Reviews Season 7 and the end of A Long Day. So this one, I thought I'd end this on just a nice, fun kind of note. This is for the 1998 Pixar film, A Bug's Life. So, what's my history with this film? I have definitely seen this film before. I didn't remember a lot of it, not because it's forgettable or anything. Now, I've gone and revisited a few different Pixar films in the past. I've watched Toy Story 1 through 4 a couple of times. I think I've seen Lightyear twice, although that's a newer film. Gone through Monsters, Inc. films, both of them. The Incredibles 1 and 2 I've seen a couple of times. So I've revisited some of them a few times. I don't know if I've seen this a second time, apart from now would be the second time. I think I've only seen this film once, and what's interesting about this film, which ties into the reason I chose this film, we of course had the D23 recently. I know this will be getting released in, I think this will be getting released in January actually, this podcast. D23 just happened recently, and we had a bunch of Pixar announcements. You had the Toy Story 5 details, Incredibles 3 was announced, etc, etc. And a lot of people for a long time now, since 1998, which was a long time ago, have been asking for a Bug's Life sequel. And it didn't come up again. Obviously, Pixar's different now, different people working there, that kind of thing. And it usually gets talked about as like the forgotten Pixar film. So I thought I would try to remember it and go and rewatch it. There were certain parts of this film, certain moments that I remembered, most of which come through Hopper, the main villain of the film. Okay, so all that being said, do I like it? Do I not? Whatever. I like this film a lot. I like this film very much. It's just that I've not thought about it for a little bit of time, and I've not seen it for a very long time. Didn't see this film at all in my 20s. I'm now in my 30s. I probably watched this when I was no older than, I don't know how old I would have been actually when I saw this. I was born in 94. This came out in 98. I don't remember seeing this on the big screen. So this might have been one of those classic DVD situations. I can't quite remember. I was very young. I remember seeing Toy Story 2 on the big screen in 99. I'll never forget that one. and this was the year before. So yeah, going back to the early days of Pixar here, with only their second feature film, of course, starting with the beautiful Toy Story in 1995. Gosh, what a film to kick off your legacy with. Is there many better films than Toy Story? Toy Story 1 specifically, to kick off your almost 30 year legacy. Yeah, I actually noticed quite a few. There's a few things that stuck out, and I'll get into all of them. Because Toy Story is so ingrained in my mind, more so 1, 2, and 3 than 4, because I've spent less time with 4 because it's newer. And the first one is noted to be, the first one is noted to be a very quick, clean, well-paced, 80-minute, very memorable thing. There's certain bits in this film, and I found it really interesting, actually, and I don't know how deliberate it was at the time or whatever, and there is also, obviously, the theory of the Pixar cinematic universe, so take that for what you will. There were certain beats and moments, music cues, plot points in the story that made me think, oh yeah, that's a bit similar to when Woody did this, or a bit similar to when Buzz did that, or certain other similarities. Obviously, the plot is different. But you've kind of got, I mean, one of the major similarities with this in Toy Story 1, from a plot point of view, is obviously at some point in Toy Story, Woody gets kind of shamed away from the group, not in the same way that what's this guy's name again? Flick, is it? I think it's Flick. Yeah, not in the same way that he gets shunned away from the group here because he's sent to do a job. Whereas Woody in Toy Story 1 is more like, you've tried to kill Buzz Lightyear, we don't like you anymore, you've turned bad, and we don't want you anymore. But this whole thing of, and it's not the same in terms of, obviously Flick goes off and meets this group, but he's looking for some support, some help, and he unfortunately kind of comes across this circus group, but they turn out to be heroes, which is a good old staple of Pixar, is kind of I guess the unexpected hero, or however you would put that. So those were kind of some interesting bits. It's also kind of, you could compare when Sid gets scared by the kids, sorry, not the kids, the toys, in Toy Story 1, and then there's a bit with when the ants do decide to kind of take over and stuff. So you got some, there's more of those things, but I'm not going to sit here and talk about like all of them. But there's a lot of interesting similarities, and I wonder how much of it was deliberate, how much of it was not a copy and paste, but sort of influence. So that was cool. So in terms of the usual things that Pixar are good at, heartfelt story, you've got that here. Heartfelt moments, you've got that here. Moments that make you laugh and make you cry, you've got that here. You've got like the not the unsung hero or anything, but you've got like the underdog hero, I suppose. But I don't think, I mean, when you look at Buzz and Woody, they're not the same kind of hero as Flick, and Flick is a hero in a different way, I guess, because he has to fight this grasshopper called Hopper. So, but you got that kind of going on. One thing I kind of noticed differently about this film, and I can't think of too many times that Pixar's done this, and even though they have a formula and a format, which if it isn't broke, don't fix it, this was a bit more survival based, like thematically kind of survival based and things like that. And I'm trying to think if maybe in a few of the other films that that I haven't seen for a while that I'm not remembering, but it's usually not the same. I mean, you usually have your hero kind of go on their like daring adventure, I suppose. Or they have a mission that they're trying to succeed at doing or something. But this was more kind of, and obviously it's ingrained in these characters' lives, so it makes sense as to why it's here. And there's one line in this film. Now, as much as you can agree or disagree with a villain, and they can be a bit more grey area, or maybe they're just simply black and white or whatever. As much as Hopper here is a villain, his fear actually ended up coming true. Which was, okay, if we don't stamp out these, I mean, it came true because of something that he did, which was that he threatened them. But, because he's probably like the most fleshed out character here as well. And he kind of says, like, oh, what was it again? His fear is like, okay, if we don't control these ants, they're going to stample us and kill us. That's not exactly what happened, but that's nearly what happened. And that was kind of, it ultimately led to his undoing. The bit that he's missing, the point that he's missing, which again gets into survival, again gets into, how can I put this in a interesting way that makes sense? He is fearful of a group of people that, or not people, a group that is different to him. And that can be, again, applied in a lot of different ways to today's world. You all know what I'm talking about, and it very much applies to that. But in this case, being scared of a group of a living being that is different to him, even though that group isn't actually a threat to him, because if they're nice and they work with the ants, they could probably get even more food, to be honest. But then you've got kind of his approach, which is he hates these ants because I guess that they're different to him and stuff. And because he's got himself in such a position of control, and he's like, okay, I'm fearful that if they realize what they could do, we're all dead, which technically happens. But you kind of understand his not his method, but his point of view. He's got the correct thought process, but his approach is wrong and villainous, which is let's work against the ants rather than with them. But when he says it's a bug eat bug world, not only is that the most important and probably best line in the film, other than lines that are more funny, obviously that's a very dramatic line, and there is lines in this film that are more kind of funny. Just lots of little quips and bits and pieces and stuff. What was one line that one character said? It kind of really cracked me up. When the stick is stuck in the tree, and the ladybird goes back to him, that's right near the end, and he goes, w "Which one are you?" It's like, "I'm the one with the eyes." That really made me laugh for some reason. The bit with like, "Oh, I've got a raspberry in my eye," this kind of thing. That was so. There were some really funny lines, but you can't really compare best lines in terms of the funny ones versus the evil ones. And in a technical sense, he's right. It is a bug eat bug world because sometimes it comes down to the survival of the fittest and that sort of thing. But sometimes in life, if you're fearful of a group, granted for the wrong reasons, he's fearful of these ants for the wrong reasons because they won't try to sample you and kill you if you work with them because they're actually nice people or ants. I suppose they're not really people. So he takes kind of the incorrect Magneto approach. Obviously Magneto in from well, at least from X-Men 97, has very much got the idea of like, okay, these people won't work with us, they will refuse to, therefore we have to take them out, otherwise they will wipe us out. Again, survival of the fittest, that sort of same thematical thing. Obviously Professor X has got the idea that no, we can't resort to violence because that's bad, and we have to talk to these people, and I love their back and forth. But when you look at Hopper and you look at the Magneto approach that he's taking, which is we have to kill all of these things, or take control of them, because if they get control of us, they can kill us a lot easier. Which is interesting though, because okay, if you're worried about being and I didn't realize this until now, but I guess he hasn't thought of this. Okay, you're worried about being sampled by a bunch of ants or bugs or whatever, but you can fly. I know that some of the ants, some of the characters in the ants group can fly as well. But it's very, very interesting kind of side to everything. So.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
What else do I want to talk about? Pacing structure, some nice, clean, quick, relatively 90 minutes. I did see it was an hour 40, and when the credits came up, there was 10 minutes left. And by the way, I did go and watch the... I don't know why they don't do it anymore. I can't remember the last film that they did it in. Maybe Toy Story 3 or something? The bloopers in the credits. Those are such a classic staple of Pixar films for a long time, and I can't remember which film had those the last time. And I love the way that they do it, because it's sort of... Obviously, these characters aren't played by... They're voiced by people, but none of them are people. They're all, like, you know, whatever the thing of the Pixar film is. So a toy, or a bug, or a car, or whatever it may be. And it's... I love the way that they do that. It's kind of this sort of... As if the film is being filmed in their... The same scenes are trying to be shot, but it's like... The camera crew is working in that world to make the film. It's a great little way to do it. I'm pretty sure Toy Story 1, 2, and 3 had those sort of like bloopers or outtakes. I don't think Toy Story 4 did. I think it stopped around about 2010 somewhere, maybe. Which is around sort of up Wall-E, Ratatouille, I think. So you got that going on as well. What else do I want to talk about? Yeah, pacing structure. You've pretty much just got... You start with the main group. Flip goes on his adventure. Brings the group back. And for the most part, it takes place... It's interesting, like... How... Obviously, when you're zoomed in up close... Sort of dollhouse style. Or that similar type of style. And it looks like the biggest... You know, it looks like a really, really big place. And then when the film zooms out at the end and it comes up with the end, it's just honestly this little patch of grass next to a tree. But obviously, because they're ants, they fit in there and use it as their home. But you've pretty much just got it taking place there or in that sort of city. And there's a few other bits near like the circus and that kind of thing. So, yeah, very good film. I don't know. I know I've done this like 3 or 4 times now. I don't know if it's what's wrong with me. I keep saying like, oh yeah, I really like a few of these films. I don't know if I love a few of these films. Because I don't love every single Pixar film, but I don't think any of them are bad. And I still think they're the most consistent studio I've ever come across. Because when you make almost 30 years worth of films and none of them... Okay, some people don't like the Cars films. Whatever, I think they're at least okay to good. I know people have issue with Cars 2 because of one of its plot points is a little sillier. It still isn't a bad film. But anyway, even if you were to consider one or two of their films to be bad, they're still easily the most consistent studio I've ever come across. So, what else do I want to talk about? It's interesting to see some voice cast in here. You got Hayden Panettiere, who's in this film, which is quite nice. I think, yeah, it's Kevin Spacey doing Hopper, isn't it? Which is interesting. Obviously, I think everything he did and or was accused of or whatever was after this film, wasn't it? Because I know that wasn't just like one incident in like a short space of time. But anyway, so... Hey, I mean, hey, it's also directed by John Lasseter, who's, you know, apparently a troublesome person as well. But that's what I mean about, like, okay, just because there's two people that after this became troublesome people, does that mean I should enjoy this film less? No, because I should enjoy it for what it is at the time that it was made. But you always have to consider that, like, across the entertainment industry, there's at least one nasty person that's worked on something that you've watched or played. Or someone that works at that studio or that company that's not a very good person. There's at least going to be one. So, you know, it's not something you can really particularly avoid. What else do I want to talk about? The Birds was quite a good cutscene. Set piece, that was pretty good. I like that he's... I keep coming across inventors. I just realised that in these films. You've got the inventor kid from The Goonies. Then you've got the inventor... And obviously the dad as well is an inventor. Then you've got the inventor who's the dad from Gremlins, which I just did. That was season 7, episode 5. Or was it episode 4? No, it was episode 5. So you've got that. And then you've got Flick, who's got obviously a very different type of inventions. Again, I found that very interesting. Not quite the same wide range of inventions that the others have got, but then the other two characters are humans, so they're going to be making very different things. The raindrop with the telescope thing was quite cool. I doubt that that would work in the real world, but for a bug, I guess it would would work for that. You've got his little work machine thing, which they'll end up getting by the end. What was the other bit I was thinking of that was similar to Toy Story? Oh yeah, when Flick goes to put his little invention thing down and it knocks over all the food and gets destroys it. It's a little bit similar to, I can't remember what it was that got dropped, but when Buzz gets knocked out the window in Toy Story 1, I remember there was somebody that, oh yeah, was it Woody? He had the magic eight ball and he asked it for something and it said no in some way, shape or form. I think he smacked it on the, he like threw it behind him or something, didn't he? And then it hit something and swung the light back around and knocked Buzz out the window. Even though he kind of meant to do that, but then didn't mean to do that, and then they made up later. So anyway, that sort of is almost the, what could we call it? The bubble moment. It's like when Flick puts his thing down, right? And it like flicks, it flicks like a stone or something, whatever it is, from this massive leaf, and it just starts tipping forward. It's like when, what was it that, because Woody threw the magic eight ball behind him out of rage. It hit something. Something else then bobbled. I think it was a ball or something. It like tapped along the thing. And then, if I remember correctly, it hit a lamp, which that was what the thing was. It actually swung round and hit Buzz Lightyear. But there's a sort of moment where something starts moving, is what I'm talking about. And you realise something bad's about to happen. So, yeah. You could kind of wonder, I suppose, if Flick puts his invention down slightly further back, it would miss. And okay, what would be different in the film from that point? I think that depends on Hopper, because obviously the problem they had is Hopper came along and there was no food, so that started the whole thing. Got Flick to find the circus group. They came back. You could have simply ended up with something where it was okay, the food didn't get knocked, but he maybe demanded more or something like that. So, but it was meant to kind of be that way. So, there we go. All right, cool. I mean, there's lots of other things that happened, but you know, those are most of the talkable sort of moments and stuff, I suppose. And that, other than the Rankins episodes, which I will record as soon as I've pretty much done this, because I think I know which order I'm going to put them in, and that podcast will be about 5 minutes long. Apart from that, that is the end of Classic Reviews Season 7. It feels short-ish, but it was not a short process. So I hope you all enjoyed it. If any of you, I guess, have got any I mean, in terms of suggesting things for this, I've already got like five more, what do you call them? Mission Impossibles. I've got four more Indiana Jones films, although one of them's newer and technically not a classic, but whatever. I've got a bunch more Superman films. I've still got another season and then some specials of Fools and Horses. I've got tons of that. Even if we just do go through the 80s, that was obviously a massive year. So, and then you've got sequels to certain stuff. Unfortunately, this doesn't have a sequel. So, do I think a sequel will ever happen? You never know with this industry. And with Pixar leaning on sequels a little bit more because not enough of you supported their original films, and then you wondered why they are making sequels, because if you don't support a company's originals and their sequels keep making money, then they will keep making sequels. If you tell a studio box office wise something that you want, they will keep making that thing. But then if you tell a studio that you want something else, and then the box office doesn't reflect that, then they simply have to adapt to that. Maybe it'll happen. I don't recall anyone at Pixar saying it's sort of never going to happen. In fact, let me do a little bit of Googling while we're here. I don't remember anybody at Pixar sort of saying, like, no, it's not going to happen or anything like that. A Bug's Life 2. Will there be A Bug's Life 2? It says ideas.fandom production development on Bug's Life 2 will begin in late Christmas 2023. Well, that's not true because we would have heard about that. Yeah, I was thinking of that. There's a film called Ants as well, isn't there? In general, both Ants and Bug's Life center on a young male ant, a drone with oddball tendencies who struggles to win a princess's hand by saving the society. Yeah, I need to check in with. There's a couple of like little character films I want to check out. Small Soldiers is one of them. I've seen that before, and Ants as well. I think I've seen Ants, but I don't remember anything about it. Is there anything else here? A Bug's Life 2: Revenge of the Grasshoppers. I don't think that's gonna happen because Hopper's dead, and also the Grasshoppers, unless they get a new leader or something, but then I don't think you should replicate that. I don't really know what you would do for a sequel though. And I just you'd come up with another adventure. There isn't a this does not end on a cliffhanger at all, really, does it? The carnival group go back to their life. What's his name gets his wings. That was nice. The little ant learned to fly. That was a nice moment. Group is settled. They've not got any more grasshoppers to serve, I suppose. And by the way, it's very interesting that they say things like keep politics out of certain stuff, keep politics out of kids' films, this sort of stuff. This is a very heavy political film. I know it's supposed to be kind of just a fun, oh, can they survive? And I'm not going to delve into it here because otherwise I'll be here for ages. You think of the amount of political themes that are in this film. Economy, greed, money. Even just from the circus group and paying them, there's a lot of political elements there. But just the simple element of this group of ants serving these grasshoppers food and what that means and the control and everything, or power of balance or lack thereof. And you also have a character who's called a princess as well. So yeah, very quite ha if you want to sit there and dig at those political bits, I guess that you can, but it's technically in kind of the background, but it's also quite not because the whole film's plot is driven by that plot line. So anyway, just want to say yet again, I know you made this film over 20 years ago, but thank you very much again, Pixar, for just continuing to do what you do. And I've already mentioned many, many times how much I trust Pixar. You can do anything you want. You go ahead and do any film that you want. I'll show up. And in fact, I've recently gained so much confidence in them that if you simply just said to me at some point, "Hey Matt, there's a new Pixar film coming out. We're not going to tell you if it's a sequel, original, or what it is, as long as it's not a live action remake. It's going to be a Pixar film. Not going to tell you what it. We're going to not going to tell you what the film is, what it's about. We're not going to tell you its title. Just go to the cinema roughly around this date. That's when it will get released. I'd still go and see it. So no trailer, no title, no info, no nothing. I would still go. And other than maybe the MCU, there's no other studio I would really, apart from Naughty Dog, but that's video games. There's no other studio I would really trust in that sort of way. So, because if you said to me, go and see this Disney film, and you don't know what the title is, that is a scary prospect. So, anyway. All right, give me your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on A Bug's Life. Is it a missed? Is it a forgotten Pixar film? Have Pixar? I'm sure Pixar haven't forgotten about it. There's probably bits of A Bug's Life around the studio because they got different statues and things like that. I'm sure somebody at Pixar remembers this film and knows about it. But remember, just remember, the moaning of the last couple of years, please stop doing sequels. Well, do you want a Bug's Life 2 or do you not? If a Bug's Life 2 is announced at some point, are we going to moan that we're getting another sequel? We shall see. Alright, that's it for this podcast. Yeah, if you've got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on A Bug's Life, have you watched it recently? Have you ever seen it before? Let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on the film and on Pixar itself, whatever. And do you think we'll get A Bug's Life 2 at some point? I will give it a 50-50 chance, because I'm not sure. They have to get out the things that they're working on at the moment. Who knows, maybe someone's jotting down some notes, someone's brainstorming some stuff. Who knows? But Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter, eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, main night podcast. Take a look out for those as well. And if you're hungry for more classic reviews podcasts, because we've reached the end of the season, we do have 6 seasons plus a bonus Disney Pixar season for you to check out. If you, because I can only do this once a year, it takes up a lot of time. Yeah, so I only do this once a year, but I've already done technically 7 of them, and this one, 7 plus a bonus one. So go and check those out, and please support them if you can do that as well. So there's that. But entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, entertainment talk, TV, games, films, main live podcast. Please listen to more stuff if you would like to. You can also, of course, word of mouth social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, every podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Time Radio, Tuesdays, geektime.co.uk for all those things. Twitch, eTalk UK, YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, and there is no next episode to tease necessarily. Apart from the season rankings, which I'm going to start writing in a moment because it won't take me that long. So, thanks for listening. I would say thanks for supporting the podcast, but I haven't released them yet, so I have no idea what the numbers are going to be. But I assume at least one person will be listening today, so thank you to you for that. But I can't thank you for the support yet because, yeah, I haven't released them yet, so... because usually if we do sort of like weekly podcasts or something, we go, hey, thanks for the support over the season, but you ain't heard none of them yet. So, and I'm the only person on this planet who knows what films I've done and the TV show. So thanks for your support. I'm gonna hope that that's happened. I'll see you next year for another classic reviews. I don't know what I'll be doing with it yet, because I want to just put a bow on it and put it to bed for now and get back to my normal life as well. So, all right, thanks very much for listening anyway, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.